Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast. Today is January. I don't even know. I'm a guess and say like about the around about the 13th.
Nigga, it's the 11th of January.
Shit, don't get me lying at you.
But I will say, by the time we hear the show, happy Founders Day to my sorors of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Our Founders Day is on the 13th.
It seems like they're having like 4 or 5 Founders Day a year.
It is. It's that season because most of the organizations were, like, most of the sororities were founded in January.
Oh, so AKA's is coming right behind y'all.
AKA's right behind us. I think either Zetas or Sigma Gamma Rho's are also in January. All four of us aren't. Kappas are in January. Omegas are in November and somebody else is in November. Alpha's already passed, but there's a lot of January Founders Day, yeah.
And then y'all have the whole, in the summertime, y'all have the conventions.
Conventions and conclaves, correct.
Conclaves. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm getting the hang of it. Now I'm getting the hang of it.
And boulets and all
And all that good
stuff. Y'all just call it normal. We just have conventions and conferences. Other people have things with more elaborate nomenclature.
Wait. Nomenclature, good word. Wait. So when y'all have the conventions, do men's be present or just be women's?
No, men are there.
So niggas just coming
and vice versa. When the men have their convention, women are there.
There's lots of sexual escapades at these conventions.
I mean, I think it depends on how old you are. What you have to remember is that this convention is where our conventions are, where all the national organization business is done. So you might have collegiates there.
But it's serious
and younger
business.
Greeks there who are doing prizes up, but like it's like we're in sessions all day long, and there are like dinners and balls and black tie shit at like, you know, $100-something a ticket. You know, like it's real shit. And your grandmama and them and Miss Janie from church
with the big red hat
and your old goddess counselor and, you know, your neighbor down the street, like they're all there too. You know what I mean? So it's like, so people bring their families.
Okay.
There are a lot of single Greek men who come because there's a lot of women, right? Yeah. But it's not even.
It ain't Buck Wild. Like,
nah, it's not that. It's not
okay. All right. I've never been. I was curious how that worked out. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah. Same old shit.
Hey, wait. Are we allowed to talk about the what's it called? The reunion.
What, the one that's coming up?
Isn't it one, wasn't it tonight? Or was it next week?
No.
I got an email.
I haven't taped it.
Yeah, they have to tape it. You got an email to come to the taping.
But I thought that was tonight.
No, it's not tonight. It's not. Next week.
Oh, it's next week.
You thought it was tonight because you don't know what day it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, Brian gonna be in Macon. He gotta be at the damn taping.
Yeah.
Keep Peter Guns and Cisco apart.
You know what? I might come to the taping just for that bullshit right there.
I'm gonna come through next
Peter Gunn's old ass and Cisco's old ass and Self's dumb ass, and I love you, Self, but god damn it. I might really have to go just for this bullshit. They piss me the fuck. Y'all some grown ass
like with men. Kids. I think Rich might be a grandfather. Peter is a grandfather. Yeah.
Rich might be a grandfather.
No, because his daughter ain't had a child yet. But Peter is definitely a grandfather.
Not to mention, well, I don't know, because we only know about the daughter on air. There's others.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
We don't know.
This is true.
That's the one. We just know about one. That's not his only child.
One girl. This is true.
And then, like, all of them have daughters. They all have daughters. Mm-hmm. And y'all niggas walking around bragging about being a creep squad. Fighting over it. Fist the cuffs. I don't understand. It's a badge of honor. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? And the women y'all creeping on is trash. So I don't get it.
Like y'all, like Cisco and Rich. Well, Rich doesn't really seem to care anymore, but at one point they was really about to scrap over Mariah Lynn.
Over Mariah Lynn.
Like really, bruh? Like really, Mariah Lynn?
She looks like an insect. I know. Yes. I don't understand. Like what are you 12. Really doing? Yeah, and even the young lady that Rich was dating at the beginning of the season. Like these are like no offense to these women, but like these are dollar store chicks. Like it ain't even like they pulling
hot ones
off Dykeman like Joey. You know what I mean? Like it's just
yeah. And even with that, it's like not only are they like that, but they're all really young. It's like Richard
because they have to go young because these motherfuckers are so ridiculous.
And that's the only girls or women that will be impressed with them because it's like Rich. Right. Rich is like he got to be on the other side of 45, and you dating girls it's like 23. It's like fam, like what are we doing out here, man?
It's
like
crazy.
It's ridiculous. So I mean, peace to morning but, entertainment. It's been an entertaining season now, but I have a
question. And Sean not gonna answer, but I'm gonna ask anyway.
Brother, is Tara pregnant? I don't think it's bruh man quiet. Bruh man quiet.
Let me just say this.
I thought Peter got his shit.
I'd say this. I never assume anybody pregnant, any woman. I don't give a fuck how big her stomach is. I'm going to say bad gas. Yeah. Until you tell me, till a woman say she's pregnant, she's not pregnant.
Just let it ride.
Word on the streets is that Tara is pregnant.
But I thought Peter got a vasectomy.
I thought he backed out.
Oh.
Also, apparently, Peter got that super sperm, so maybe it wasn't. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Has Amina been on?
She is not that. They're not full cast members. Tara's only been on the once, and Peter's only been on for this fight. So I will just say, if it's true that Tara's pregnant again, you are so unbelievably stupid. Everybody's stupid. That's all. So we can move on.
But she always tries to come on the show like she's the voice of reason.
Even with the Cisco conversation, right? You're going to sit there and calmly have a conversation. Like, which, by the way, Cisco was bugging out. But also, I'm supposed to calmly discuss with you the fact that you blocked a $10,000 walkthrough, which who the fuck is paying Peter Gunn $10,000 to walk anywhere? But a $10,000 walkthrough for the father of my kids, who I need to get money from?
Because you mad at Rich.
Come and tell me about it?
Wait, because you're mad at Rich?
Rich?
Nothing to do with
Peter. Yeah, like you're gonna sit here and tell me that you took food, that you took money out of my household, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Cause of somebody else and had the nerve to be coming to me to ask me to tell me that like Peter overreacted.
Yeah.
I would have threw a drink in his face. Like, fuck out of here. That's my money. What are you talking about?
Exactly. Like that 10 grand could have went a long way towards his bills and rent and simulacra.
Yeah. Like, do you know how many, I'm glad Peter was honest about like, cause Cisco all like that little piece of change, that $10,000. Peter like, yo, you know how many kids I got?
Like, well, then if it's that piece of change, then give me the 10 grand then, bro.
If it's like, yeah, if it's that, right in your pockets. Like, you must have it. If it's a piece of change, you must have it. Let's have it.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, and I mean, I know, bro, I definitely gonna stay out of this, but since we're on the Real Housewives, we jump right into Real Housewives. I'm tripping. Love and Hip Hop New York. We might as well go on and talk about this whole Yandy situation. I mean, it's messy. They gunning for Yandy this season. The two other mothers of Mendezi's children, are gunning for her, saying
the
that
attack of the baby mamas.
The attack of the baby mamas said she spread a lot of rumors, lies, and innuendo. And initially, you know, Yandy was battling back, but then, I don't remember what episode it was, but when Yandy revealed that she wasn't married and hadn't even told Mendezi that she wasn't married, that they weren't married, that put a lot of credence to some of the shit that the other girls are saying about how Yandy is a spin master. Yeah, and she's a spin master.
Yeah.
That was
yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about it was, I couldn't really knock Yandy for her reasons for not making the marriage official, right? It's like, okay, we went through a ceremony. It's just not legal. So, like, our
Because she would get hit with a lot of his bills and restitution
and all that.
I understand but
well, when I found out, well, I can understand putting on a front to the world because, like, legally she's covered. I think she legally changed her name. I don't know all this shit. But anyway, my thing is, though, how you didn't tell Mendices?
That's what I'm saying.
How does this nigga not know? That's crazy to me.
He's in jail like, wait, what? Like, niggas.
Like, what you mean?
Yeah, what are you talking about? You ain't sending no paperwork in. And apparently by that point, obviously, he'd been inside. So they've been married, I'm sure, by the time they taped, at least a few months. So it's like, wait a minute.
They've been married over a year.
That's what I'm saying. And we done had a gang of conversations and whatnot since then. And you ain't never one time bothered to be like, hey, by the way, I ain't never put that in the mailbox.
Or even like, it's not like he went to jail the fucking day after they got married either. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it wouldn't bother me so much if Yandy wasn't, and I mean, I'm talking to somebody who actually knows Yandy. I don't profess to know Yandy as Yandy is right now today, but I know Yandy. But it wouldn't bother me so much if Yandy wasn't so, this is what a wife does. Let me tell you what a wife does.
The t-shirts.
Wife. Fucking t-shirts, memes, all this other stuff. But it's like, actually.
You're not a wife. You're not a wife.
Now, granted, he chose you as his wife, but you are not actually a wife.
Exactly. And again, you and your husband, you know, I gotta kind of use air quotes in this case.
Right.
Your husband, you chose to like leave in the dark about your actual wedding, marital status. So it's like, come on, fam, what are we doing here? Like, what, you didn't even tell this nigga what was going on. This is crazy.
Yeah, that's the part I can't defend at all. Like, I can't defend that.
It's crazy. So, yeah, you know, there's other storylines too, but those are definitely the best. Well, I mean, a storyline with Drewski and Young B, and that's just silly kitty shit. But like I said, they're gunning for Yandy, and I'm sure after the reunion next week, which we'll attend. Obviously, we won't be able to talk about it until it comes on TV. I'm sure there'll be more fireworks for them gunning for Yandy, with people probably coming out with paperwork and texts and me and tweets and all this about who said what to who and da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, Yandy's definitely getting beat up this season.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of Cardi this season, but I almost haven't missed it.
A lot of what now?
There's been so much Cardi.
Oh, Cardi, yeah. Cardi's been low this season.
Yeah. Why well, she got things
why is that? Why is that, bro?
Because she doing shit.
She busy.
I don't know.
Cardi doing shit.
Bro, I don't even care.
I heard Cardi about to be on BMA.
I mean, I care, but, you know.
Yeah, she is going to be on BMA Jane. She got a role on BMA Jane. Yeah, I forget who she's playing, but yeah, she definitely got a role on there, so she's popular. So yeah, Peace to Mona Me Entertainment. I saw the trailer for the new Black Ink, which comes on next week, Black Ink New York. Of course, it's completely outrageous and ridiculous, and yeah, I'll be watching every week. let's jump into real quick, this is light football. Just wanted to mention a piece to because I know it's gonna get under the nice skin. Peace to the
Clemson.
I didn't even get the words out.
Peace fuck to the Clemson. It's still fuck Clemson. Fuck them.
Please sit up Clemson Tigers for beating.
Cause not, it's not only fuck Clemson.
You ain't not even let me finish.
Because
bro.
I went to Carolina. It's also fuck Clemson because I'm an SEC person. So fuck Clemson. Bama should have won that shit.
Wait, what's Clemson? Oh, Clemson's ACC. You're right. Clemson's ACC. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So peace to the Clemson Tigers for winning a national championship. And, what at the beginning was a kind of, game, but the last 20 minutes of the game were like phenomenal. Like it was just back and forth, you know, scoring, interceptions. It was just, you know, what we tuned in to see, the best two teams in the country going hard. So I just wanted to say that, and, you know, peace to them boys, and they won.
I mean, I'm happy for Deshaun. I'm happy for young black men out there getting it.
But fuck Clemson. All right. Being Mary Jane. Did y'all even watch it?
Well, wait, no, for real. Have y'all ever been? Y'all never been to Clemson, right?
No, nah, I've never been to South Carolina.
We gotta fix that, bro.
I've never been to the state, yeah.
So, really, even for like promo runs, well, you don't do that because you're
in.
So, when people call something a college town, that is fucking Clemson. Like, as soon as you drive into the town boundaries,
orange.
There's fucking tiger paws. It's tiger paws on the road, literally. They're tiger paws stamped on the road. Wow. Leading you all the way into Clemson's campus in Death Valley. But it's one of those places where, like, because I grew up in Greenville, which is only about half an hour away from Clemson. So, Clemson Carolina game always falls around Thanksgiving. So when we would play at Clemson, a bunch of us would, you know, we'd be home. So we'd drive up to Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's one of those places where like after dark, you want to leave because you feel like you hear like the Deliverance banjo, like, you like, nah, I gotta go. Cause it's still kind of like
that
a few decades ago. Once you get up in them mountains. Yep.
Yeah. They throw cats over tree branches and shit like that.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, peace to them. Real quick. I want to say peace to Ricky Harris and his family. Ricky Harris, who people know a lot from the Death Row era. He was on a lot of the skits in Death Row. He was in some movies as well. Comedian, very funny guy. Died at 54 years old, I think, last week. I don't remember the cause. I feel like, but they never really said, but when I watched, when I watched Snoop and his couple of the Instagram, I feel like he might have had cancer. I don't think it was a sudden death. I think he got sicker and obviously like over time it's got worse. And it was a big kerfuffle at his funeral, cause Snoop was there and apparently Ricky's nephew like swung on Snoop at the funeral. Well, according to the gram, which you got to take with a grain of salt, but it kind of sounds about right. They're saying that the dude, they was mad because they felt like Snoop, because, you know, Ricky's also from Long Beach. So they him and Snoop, they didn't grow up together because he's older than Snoop, but they grew up, you know, they knew each other like all their lives. And so he's saying that Snoop should have did more, you know, the usual shit. Snoop
done what? Done like more. This, niggas kill me with this shit. Done what? Like Ricky was on. How many fucking Death Row albums?
No, the voice I can tell you what he wanted him to do. Give him money.
Give
him money. He wanted him to cut him a check, to give him money, and just continually give. And it didn't matter if Snoop had kids. It doesn't fucking matter. These fucking niggas, all they want to do is lay on you and make you feel guilty about any sort of success. Look, I ain't in Snoop's pocket. Right. But Snoop doesn't seem to me to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to just give away.
Snoop made a bunch of money over the years.
He's doing well.
But Snoop also carries a big nut. He's got a family. He's got a lot of kids.
He's got a lot of people that he's taking care of.
Yep.
He looks like ain't nobody missed no meals at the Broadus house in a very long time. But like niggas just think, honest to God. Niggas think you just got a pile.
You just got a pile of money
somewhere. Yeah.
Like just, you got a room. You got a Scrooge McDuck room of money.
And I'm supposed to give it to you.
Like, exactly.
I'm supposed to give it to you. And I promise you, most of the time, the person who they think they're defending isn't even seeing it like that.
Yeah, Ricky wasn't even on it like that.
Ricky probably wasn't even on it like that because he probably was somebody that people felt like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, you on
TV.
Nigga,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't get a nigga $300-$400 right quick. It's always right quick.
Right quick.
It's always a little bit of money. When it's your money, it's a little bit of money. When it's their money, it's a lot of money.
It's a little bit of change.
Come on, man. What's that? You can spot me a quick grand. What's that?
Yeah. What's that to you? That's nothing. That's nothing. You'll get that back. So peace to Ricky.
Nigga, I got taxes.
You know what I'm saying?
Fuck bills. I got taxes.
And also wanted to mention over the break, I watched Malice from the Clips. He has a movie on Netflix, actually, called, about his transformation into becoming a Christian and all. It's a very short movie. It's like 45 minutes long. I thought it was fairly interesting. It was a good watch on a Sunday if you're doing
sure?
shit.
Are you sure? I don't know. I don't really know.
No, I'm not telling you to run. I'm not.
The story is compelling enough.
It was compelling for about for a 40-minute movie.
Sean, how was?
I watched it. I give it a Fred G. Sanford.
It was all right.
It was like again, like look. I like the clips. I respect them. I respect the hustle. I never was enthralled in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, Malice and they I wasn't connected to them in the way that I think a lot of people are. So if you're from the South, from that area, and you're between like, you know, 27 and 35, they're like gods to you.
Yeah.
And it probably matters a lot more than it does to an old nigga from New York.
Yeah. Well, you watch if you're Sunday and it's raining. You know what I'm saying? It's one of them.
Yeah.
And ain't nothing on TV.
I already know why Malice left the game. I don't know if I need to see him talk about it for 45 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think what really kind of gets some people is that a lot of people, feel like Malice is actually better than Pusha, which makes them sad that he broke out.
That he left. Yeah. And he's not coming back. Like, I'll be the.
Like, ever. No, no, never.
No, like, he's like, I'm done. I'm not rapping about that stuff anymore.
Ain't no Mace. Ain't no, like, he's not.
No. Ain't no in and out. He's out, you know?
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. And then, it's another series I'm watching on Netflix. I know both you two niggas would hate, called 3%. It's kind of like,
I watched it already. It's dope. I watched it in one day.
Oh, see, look at that. Hey, look at you. Look at you like it's some sci-fi. I ain't finished.
No, I watched. It's dystopian. I watched it like that. It's like Hunger. It's like
Hunger Games in Brazil.
It's Divergent. I mean, we all need to watch it, frankly, because it's what
it's about to be real.
It's exactly. Training video shit.
Exact word. So,
go ahead. You wanted to say what it's about?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I just wanted to mention it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's in Brazil.
Say what it's about. People need to watch it. It's a Brazilian series. Again, a dystopian series. So think Hunger Games, Divergent, something like that. Where basically, when you turn 20, you have to go through this process.
The process.
A screening process. Because a process / competition. Because only 3% of the population live in this place called the offshore, which is supposed to be a utopian society, mm-hmm. or at least their idea of a utopian society. And the rest of the population lives in squalor in the overcrowded slums.
Yeah.
So that's about to be us. And but this is the thing I don't get. Trump is literally.
Wait, no, don't know Trump yet. We're going to get to Trump in a minute.
No, but I'm just going to say, and talking about this thing, Trump is literally President Snow from the Hunger Games. That's actually who he is.
Yeah, like, no doubt.
That's actually who he is. And I don't, okay, whatever. But anyway, yeah, so watch 3%. Also, while we're talking about Netflix series, I also watched over the break this series called The OA.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. On Netflix. I haven't clicked on it yet.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. That's worth checking out. I watched that, I think, in like a day and a half. And if we're talking about binge watching, I also just this week, finally got on the bandwagon for This Is Us, which is NBC's series.
Everybody's telling me about this.
It's phenomenal. Like, I remember when they were doing promos for it and it was kind of vague. It's a family ensemble. It's kind of like Parenthood. Like, not drama, not comedy, but a little bit of, like, the both. Mm-hmm. And I remember the promos for it, but I couldn't really get a gist of what it was about, and name is so generic and it's whatever. So I was like, this is some white people shit. And I just never paid attention to it. And weirdly, I'm realizing now that I watch so much cable, I really miss a lot of what's on
the network TV.
Regular network TV, mm-hmm. unless it's something that's on my radar, like Blackish, Scandal, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know there was a new MacGyver. And there's a new MacGyver. I was like, when did this happen? So, anyway, increasingly I've been seeing people talk about, especially over Christmas, how great the show is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so great and it's so great, but people still not really going into depth about what it's about. So at one point, NBC had not made it available on demand. You had to get it on Hulu. Mm. But now I guess once they did their mid-season break, they made it available on demand. So somebody was talking about it one day and the other night. I was like, let me look at this. And I think I started watching it randomly at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I stayed up to like 6 in the morning and watched it again the next day. And yesterday. And unfortunately yesterday, it came back for the mid-season premiere.
Yeah, I heard it came back last night, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I finished just in time. I'll put it to you like this, 'cause I don't want to like really, I was pleasantly surprised watching the first episode at what the plot of this kind of was. There's a little bit of a surprise in there and I don't want to ruin it for people, but it's one of the best ensemble pieces I've ever seen. It's funny. It's poignant. It's touching. It's so well written. It's so well acted. And there's representation across the board. Like, I thought it was going to be some white people shit, but they're like, we are all up in there in a great way, right? So it's so worth the watch. It's something, this is one of those, like, there's something for everybody shows. There's something for everybody in the show. It's so, so smart. It's so, so smart. Like, I really can't say enough about it. It's amazing.
All right. Yeah, so I'm definitely going to tune into it. And then, bro, yeah. I feel like I've been cheating on you, bro.
Why? What happened?
I've been watching Ricky Smiley show on TV1, bro.
Well, look, man.
I know you got your issues with it, but I like the show. God damn it, I like the show.
You like everybody, nigga, like Roland.
Oh no, I'm not saying like not necessarily.
You like Rolling.
Oh, come on. No.
That's your man's.
Hold on now. Hold on.
Nigga, you about to get a package of Ascots.
Hold on now.
Your pocket squares from Rolling.
And Pledge Alpha. Listen, I don't necessarily cut for no Rolling now, but I do watch the TV, the New York, the News One, because it's the only black news show on television. Yeah, but I'm not saying cut for him. Yeah. I just watched the show. But I do like the Ricky Smiley show. It been eating at me, so I felt like I had to let you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look.
I'm not gonna talk about it, but I still
had to let him live. But fuck that nigga, man. Fuck that nigga.
All right, so let's move on before this shit start getting ugly. I watched Being Mary Jane last night, the premiere. I doubt neither one you dudes did.
I didn't watch it because I was watching This Is Us, and I forgot that I've switched cable providers since the last time Being Mary Jane was on, so I didn't have my DVR set.
Oh, okay. But I gotta say, I mean, you know, it's a long season, but the first episode was underwhelming. It wasn't great.
I told y'all niggas.
It wasn't great.
I don't know about Pauletta right now. I don't know if I can stick with Pauletta right now because they're gonna fuck it up.
The first episode was underwhelming. That's all I'm gonna say. Like the New York thing wasn't really working for me. Because they didn't show her like what happened to make her move. They kind of talked about it during the show, but they didn't really show it. So it was kind of.
Well, I think as a New Yorker and as someone who enjoys film and television, I hate trying to fucking recreate New York.
Yeah, because they obviously shot that in Atlanta.
That's somewhere else. That's not fucking New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a few places that are very distinct, and places like Chicago, mm-hmm. and places. Now you might be able to get away with some Toronto filming for Chicago, maybe,
maybe even for New York a little bit, kind of almost.
Yes, but when you're in the heart of, like, they had a fucking man. A homeless man standing on the corner with a burning garbage can. I'm like, this is not 1977, my nigga. Who is, seriously, because that is.
Was Levert standing around singing for love.
Pretty much. But.
Everything about
their movements, like, was not grown woman New York. Everything about their movement.
I agree.
the places that they were in, that is not, those were not places that a mover and shaker of her caliber would have been at like that.
Like, yeah, like a high, a woman high in on the news is coming on, you know, the big, the number, basically working on Good Morning America is not going to show up at some raggedy ass comedy club.
And,
like, come on,
and
dude, what are
like,
we doing?
Like the homegirl, the Spanish chick just goes off, dude smiles from across the room and she just goes give him some pussy. Like, yeah. We don't hear from her. Like, like, I mean, look, I'm not judging the sexual act, right? Like, if you meet somebody,
not that, but it's not real.
It's not in the world we live in now. Like, you just bring in strange dudes to your hotel, swapping spit.
And then leaving voice messages like, in case I get killed, tell them, come on.
If you got to do all that, like, what are we doing out here?
Yeah, yeah. The shit was, I can't front. I can't fight for it. I can't, you know, I fight for Mary Jane, but last night it made me nervous. I mean, I'm going to stick with it.
The writing was not great.
It wasn't.
I thought it was shot very dark.
Very dark.
That may have
a couple times I was like, I can't see what the hell going on in here.
That may be something that sort of is a theme throughout. Like, maybe she's in a dark place now, and
maybe they felt like that was going to communicate the New Yorkness or something.
Yeah, but again, New York deserves some of the shade that we get. But there's a lot of shit, man, that people come at New York with that's just a little bit crazy. Like, New York doesn't look like that. Yeah. There's no place in New York City you can walk to right now when it's dark that it looks like that. No place. Yeah. Unless you're in the depths of Brownsville or in the depths of East New York.
Way out in Queens, some damn way.
and by way out, nigga, we mean train and bus way out. Like,
yeah.
Not regular Queens.
Yeah.
We ain't talking about Jamaica and Far Rock, nigga.
Yeah. Talking about them parts that we don't even know the name of, really.
Exactly. So to me, it's just like, if you're going to do New York, you really got to do New York right now. I love Valerie Pettiford. I kind of stand for her. She's a hot little cougar crush.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's going to be great as an addition because she's dope. Like, mm-hmm. She's just dope to me. So she may be a saving grace for me to watch the show. But, you know, I'm not – it is what – honestly, I'm watching the show for us, for Pop Life Podcast. Because if it wasn't for Pop Life Podcast, I would have never turned to that shit.
The other thing that bothered me about this show last night is, obviously, Mary Jane is living in New York now. So and her family, obviously, is still back in Atlanta. And a huge part of that show was always – her dealing with her family dynamic.
Yeah, like how are we not going to have that? And
going to her mother's house and then, you know, talking to her brother and her mother is being sick and she's in the bed with her mom and all that type of thing. Obviously, that's not, I don't know how they're going to put that in. And Mary Jane's house in and of itself, her house almost became like a character of the show.
It was a character. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and the house is now gone. So she's living right now she's living in a hotel room, and I'm sure they'll eventually put her in some fly crib in Brooklyn or something like that, or Harlem. But it's not the same. It's not going to be the same. You know what I mean? So I'm like, it's going to be interesting to see how they change the dynamics. So I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to push on. Just wanted to mention, just for the culture, the number one and two songs in the country right now are Bad and Bougie by the Migos and Black Beatles by Ray Shrimp. I think this is a huge thing because these records, neither one of these records are getting, they get radio play, but they're really big based on streaming and obviously kids just loving the records. And like for the Migos, and I love Bad and Bougie, I love Black Beatles too, but for the Migos to literally have the number one song on the Billboard chart, like topping, you know, the Chainsmokers and, you know, Ariana Grande and people like that is unbelievable. So I just, you know, I just wanted to mention that. I just think that shit is dope.
Shout out to Donald Glover for shouting them out on the Golden Globes.
On the Golden Globes, which we can go right into.
I don't love Bad and Bougie that much. Like, it's cool and it's catchy, but I actually like Black Beatles better.
I think if you get a second and some downtime, you go out one night and you hear it, it'll change your tone.
Okay.
If you go out and hear that shit is rumbling. So let's go on into the Golden Globes, which were very black this year, which we love. Ton of black people.
Yeah, apparently it was the most diverse, not just with the black people, but with some of the Indian nominees.
Yeah.
It was the most diverse pool of nominations that they've had. And with just the works overall, because especially there were like a few pieces that were centered around women and stuff like that. So it was apparently one of the most diverse class nominations that they've had.
And I'm looking right now on online, and the ratings were up slightly from last year. They went up to they got a 5.6 and 20 million viewers. You know, which is a good number for the, it's not the Oscars, you know what I'm saying? So like for them, that's a good number. You know, some of the shows that were shows and movies that were that won awards were Atlanta, Cleaned Up, Crazy. Moonlight won Best Film. Tracy Ellis Ross won Best.
Moonlight won Best Film. Moonlight won Best Picture Drama. La La Land won Best Picture.
Exactly.
Musical or comedy. And I just want to point out, Moonlight though was shut out. Moonlight was nominated for 7 awards.
You got killed until that
they
last
were
one.
Shut out now that 6. It's the exact same thing that happened to 12 Years. 12 Years got shut out in every category and then won Best Picture Drama.
So you think, what do you think this means for the Oscars?
I'm not sure. I mean, somebody brought up a point on Twitter and I had never really considered it this way before. So again, much like 12 Years, one of the production companies, there's a couple of white production companies behind Moonlight, including Plan B, which is Brad Pitt's production company, which was also behind one of the companies behind 12 Years, right?
By the way, peace to Brad Pitt, because like quietly, he's becoming like a real powerful producer in Hollywood.
Absolutely.
And I love that he picks smaller films.
Yes.
And you know, films and a lot of films with black themes and black content.
Yeah, and it's important because he really does lend his face and his self to the promotion.
Absolutely.
Of these films, which means a lot. So what somebody pointed out is that with both these films, well, they pointed it out about Moonlight, and I realized it was the same for 12 Years. You're snubbing them in all the categories that acknowledge the writers and the talent, that acknowledge the black people. Best Picture is a producer's award. So
that was really more for Brad and the other producers then.
So yeah, so basically it's like, here's this award for all y'all white people who financed this black movie, but we're not going to give no award to all the black people who actually did all the creative shit in the movie.
But what was interesting,
I don't know if it's that deliberate, but that's what it is.
What's interesting about that is, and I agree with what you're saying about it being a producer movie, but at the Golden Globes anyway, like when it came time, you know, for them to all go on stage as they all did, I don't know if Brad came on stage. He was there. I don't know if he came on stage or not. If he did, he totally played the back because
come on stage.
Yeah, because he let Barry Jenkins speak. Like, I forget, is a white woman.
Well, because he's not, because he's a producer. He's one of the producers. He's not like deeper, you know what I mean? Like his company is a production company, and still the. I mean, I say that Best Picture is a producer's award, but
I'm saying it's dope that he didn't jump up there and like take the shine. Like he was like, that's cool, but like Barry made the movie, he wrote the movie, and like you talk,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like I don't need to be up here. But I mean, I hope again. I don't, you know, say you never really kind of know how it's going, but I hope the Oscars, they get an Oscar thing. Tracy Ellis Ross won, for best comedic actress, I believe. Or was it just?
No. Well, yeah, it's the best lead actress in a comedy or musical. And the last time that happened was in the '80s. Debbie Allen won for Fame.
Yeah.
And it's also the first time in years that black women have even been nominated in that category. And it was both Tracy and Issa were in that category. Yes. So had either one of them won, it still would have been like a really great moment.
Yep, Viola Davis won for
and she won for Fences.
For Fences,
yep.
And I feel like there was some other, we mentioned Atlanta. Like Atlanta won a bunch of stuff,
which was great.
Which was
and
great.
the emotions that ran throughout the cast.
Yeah,
when Atlanta was winning, was everything. Like grown men crying. You know what I mean? It was beautiful. I was really touched by it. I'm trying to think who else. I feel like somebody else black ones.
Me too. And if we're not remembering, we apologize. Overall, I thought it was an interesting show. It kept my interest this year. Again, I love Donald Glover's shouting out the Migos, and it literally they had a 243% jump in sales.
Yep.
From Sunday night until today. So he put them on a turbo boost. As he should. They were on
and
the
he
show.
Also gave a really. I also think it's important that he shouted out Atlanta. You know what I mean? Shout to Atlanta as a city and the people just for being black and being there. You know what I mean? In 2017 actually is a legitimate.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta say this real quick about Donald Glover. I have been resisting this motherfucker. For some reason, I ain't wanna like him. I ain't wanna like nothing about him.
Okay.
I don't know why. Something about the Childish Gambino. I think the fact that Childish Gambino started as a shtick and then all of a sudden with some real shit and the nigga had the nerve to be serious about it bothered me for some reason. But I still have to listen to the new album. I've heard some stuff and it's nice.
The new album is okay, but it's like a funk album. It's not, I'm not gonna say it's not a Childish album because he made it, but it's not the Childish that he did before. Did you listen to the last one because of the internet?
Yeah.
It's not that at all. It's not, but you should listen to it just to say you did.
Yeah, I'll listen to it. So, but with Atlanta, and I never watched Community. So I wasn't necessarily a friend. I've seen him do stand up. Actually, shout out to Josen Cummings. Josen took me to see him do stand up once. And he was all right. But I never watched Community. And so I didn't really have an appreciation for him at anywhere. So I'm like, all right, nigga, I fuck with you. And his humility, I think I thought he was arrogant. I think I thought he was a dick for some reason. His humility on stage, I was like, this is dope.
I don't think he's a dick. I think he's just kind of a weirdo and a nerd. And that can be taken as dickish because he's not, gregarious. So you mean an asshole, but he's just kind of thoughtful and kind of introverted. You know what I'm saying?
But
peace to him. I want to also mention, we got to talk about, let's mention bitch ass Dylann Roof. So Dylann Roof was convicted a couple of days ago on all counts.
Well, sentenced.
Sentenced on all.
Well, found guilty.
And then sentenced and got the death penalty. And I just read right before we came on to do the show that now he's requesting a new trial.
Why? Because he represented himself?
Yeah, because he's realizing that death penalty shit is real. And he's like, hold on now.
Listen, motherfucker, you wanted to represent your motherfucking self.
Mm-hmm.
You were found competent to do so. You said that you had no remorse. You walked your punk ass up into the courtroom with all kinds of motherfucking white supremacy symbols on your goddamn shoes.
Yep.
And if you still thought it was a game, if he still thought it was a game at this point, I blame law enforcement. I don't blame him because he was handled with kid gloves. Maybe he didn't realize how serious the shit was, right? So it's like, but no new trial. You were handled fairly.
Yeah,
you had every opportunity to make different choices about how your defense would go.
Mm-hmm.
And you did what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, not that I'm an advocate of the death penalty or anything, but you sought out a peaceful group of people in the house of God, in prayer and contemplation on purpose with forethought who were welcoming to you intentionally, shot them up, said you don't regret it, said you're not remorseful. Well, you can have a conversation with the Lord. And explain that to him. That's about how I feel about it.
I saw somebody say something this morning that I think needs to be kind of addressed, because I think people are not, I look, nobody's caping for him or anything like that, but like, people, I think we kind of forget, like, we know he killed 9 people, but he shot 75 rounds.
Right.
So it wasn't like he was just like, boom, 2, 3, 4, 5. He was putting multiple bullets.
He let the chopper spray.
Exactly. He was putting tons of bullets in them people.
I wouldn't care if the only bullets he shot was the 9 that killed those people. Fuck him. I hope he dies the most painful death possible. I hope that shit lingers over him and fucks with him every night as long as possible. And I really don't care. And you know what? For a minute, I felt, for a very slight second, I was kind of like, I don't necessarily know that I want him to get the death penalty. Cause I was kind of like, he really turns into a martyr, right? To some degree. He turns into this sort of poster child for recruitment of these young, wayward white supremacists, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, of course he's being taken care of in jail. That's why none of this was real to him. Because I'm pretty sure they were taking care of him in that jail.
Yeah, slipping him extra food and all kind of shit.
That all of the perks that come with the affiliation of being with the Aryans, I'm sure, you know, making sure he was straight and all of that. And so, yeah, I feel like he came into that courtroom and played up
thinking he was going to get off. Yeah.
And played up to the expectations of what the, of a white supremacist.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to play up to the
I'm a represent.
Until I realize
they said death penalty.
I'm about to get some shit shot into my arm, and that's it. And I hope this doesn't turn into years of appeals, and we look up, and he's been in jail for 32 years, and he damn near lives this full life to some degree. No, fuck that. He got the death penalty. I don't want him to see 2018.
Right.
It's just that simple.
And the other thing is, I think some people feel a way about it because he is young, right? And he is young and probably stupid as fuck. But like, that has not, like, but still.
That's no excuse.
This was done with forethought. This was planned and done with forethought. And your ass has had an opportunity to apologize, show any kind of remorse, regret, you know, repentance, anything. And you chose to have none of that. So fuck it.
Listen,
it's
those
too late.
And if y'all are like,
he's young. Then check your dog and your dog Abby, fucking Eagle Abby, egg ass Abby, you know, Make America Great Again motherfuckers on Twitter and Tommy, whatever the fuck her name is and all of them motherfuckers, because that's who you have to blame for this nigga.
All of these people with that sort of mentality are the same fucking people who are okay with having prevention about drug abuse now and help and treatment centers. Meanwhile, they was locking our asses up 100 miles a minute. So fuck them. Fuck their views. He could burn. Everybody affiliated with him could burn. The Ma, the Pa, everybody. I don't give a fuck about none of them.
Yeah, fuck them all. Goodbye, motherfuckers. We got to talk about Chris Brown and Soulja Boy. Supposed to be boxing in Dubai, allegedly. I think it's all bullshit.
Listen,
honestly,
I'm not even. Y'all can have this conversation. I'm not even giving these two crusty Negroes my energy and vocal strain to discuss this heightened level of foolishness. So y'all go ahead and talk. I'm not studying these niggas. Y'all go ahead and talk about these motherfuckers.
Just a little backstory. So dumbass Soulja Boy gets online and claims that Chris Brown sent him a message saying to stop putting hard eyes under Carucci's pictures on the gram. And so he starts saying, I'm gonna beat your ass, Chris Brown, because you beat Rihanna's ass. I'm gonna fuck you up, da da da. Chris, of course, responds, smoking a cigarette, looking like a nigga who fixed a carburetor under the tree. You know what I'm saying? Talking about, you're gonna get fucked up and blah, blah, blah. And then Soulja Boy says something about Chris's daughter and posts a picture of Chris's daughter. And Chris is like, yo, now it's serious. And then they go back and forth and back and forth. And all of a sudden, Soulja Boy goes to the quote unquote hood in Compton acting like shit is sweet, almost gets knocked the fuck out. And now 50 Cent and Mike Tyson and games manager, WAC 100, and Floyd Mayweather somehow involved, alleging that they're going to promote a fight in Dubai between Soulja Boy and Chris Brown.
Okay. Just to chime in, I'm kind of with Nye on this. Like, it was kind of weird. Look.
It's man, too much. This shit is on news outlets reporting about this bullshit. Like, it's got, like, it's been over a week. It's got to fucking stop.
It really feels weird. And here's the
weird. It does feel weird. It feels very weird. But it feels like niggas selling slaves down the river.
Well, here's what it's like. The worst part about this is that it seems like they don't really know that everyone else is laughing at them and not with them.
Yeah.
It's really, and for me, for somebody like Floyd, listen, 50's a jokester, you know, so we get that anytime he sees a way to tweak somebody or fuck with somebody, that's just his bag. That's his bag. Yeah. Right. But to me, I actually thought Floyd was running a more highbrow business, right? Like,
yeah, that was my thing. That was my thing too.
Like, to me, this is sort of sullying. Listen, as much as we don't like Floyd as a person, like as a boxer, he's exceptional. And in that world, that shit means something. So to take his brand and attach it to this is really, it's really sort of silly to me.
I don't get it. I'm like, nigga, you got all this bread, you know what I'm saying? And I guess you're tired. Maybe you'll fight one more time. Who knows? But obviously, like, you can go into the real promotion game like Oscar De La Hoya has done and be like a legitimate business and make absolutely a lot of money and be like a legitimate business. And like, your first thing is going to be like this shit in Dubai with these niggas? Gangbangers? Like, what are you doing, my nigga?
And I just got to say, like, it just feels, it feels reckless with, like, the way they do this gang shit, man. It's like, look, I've never been in a gang. I'm from New York. You know, gangs here sort of died out by the 80s. You had a couple of gangs that sort of survived to the 90s. But the gang culture in L.A. was not something where anybody outside of that world is not familiar with that. If they say they are, they're a fucking liar. That culture is very, very different. And so how do you just claim shit? And how do you just think that this is like that shit ain't no part-time job, my
nigga. Yeah, like, nigga, it's for life, nigga. You be 65 years old, nigga. They gonna still call on you.
Yeah, like so it's real. It's just weird that this is something that once you've gotten this sort of access and once you've gotten this sort of life, that this is something that you still crave and you still desire. It's weird as fuck. And honestly, too, like Floyd and those guys, like, you guys are the older homies, man.
That's what I'm saying. Why are you even co-signing this bullshit? Like, instead of squashing it, you're like, yeah, let's go to Dubai and get this money. Like,
Floyd, yeah, apparently like, they're trying Floyd to turn it into a charity thing. But I feel like I keep seeing Soulja talk about it, but I feel like I haven't seen Chris.
I think Chris is trying. I get the feeling that Chris, you're right. Chris has been low the past few days. I think
these niggas are just keeping shit going for shits and giggles right now.
But see, the thing is this. This is like Sean said. I get the feeling that Chris trying to get out. But, you know, like I said, when I saw games manager on there talking about that shit today, just like, now you see Chris, you claim the bloods and all that. And now you got niggas like that looking at this as a payday. So you can't pull out now. Because he's looking at it like, if this shit comes off, I'm going to make me a whole bunch of money. And we're in the gang, and I'm the OG in the gang. You can't tell me you're not going to do it now. Like, because now I don't account this money. This money's already spent. So now you put yourself in a real awkward situation where, you know, these niggas, either you do it or you can't move around L.A. without getting, you know, your ass beat every which way. Like, it's a dangerous game they're playing, man.
And honestly, man, like, what the, like, Chris Brown was legitimately, and I'm not even exaggerating here, like, we really thought that Chris Brown was going to be the closest thing to Mike.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, legitimately, we thought this dude was going to have, you know, repeated 5 and 10 million selling albums, and he was going to be mm-hmm. all, like, he was going to be a mega star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, we're going to look up, and this nigga's going to be performing at a skating rink in Ohio somewhere.
Yep.
For 1,000 people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and some wings.
Like, what are we doing out here? Like, if I'm just thinking about just, you know, long term, like, you're a father, man. Like, you're you know, like, what's happening?
Let me also highlight the biggest underlying fundamental issue I have with this whole thing. Karrueche ain't fucking with neither one of these niggas.
At all.
What this shit is about.
Karrueche was like, on the red carpet at the Golden Globes doing all
ain't thinking about them, ain't talking to them, ain't seeing them, ain't worried about them, ain't, like, she got, like, this shit is in a sense supposed to be about her, and she ain't even involved.
But you know what? Like most fights and most beefs in the hood, when you trace it back, and you kind of go backward to what actually happened, it's very vague. It doesn't really connect. Mm-hmm. The beef doesn't really mean
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. This is at this point, this is no longer about Karrueche. This is a pissing contest. And mm-hmm. it turned into a pissing contest online. And so you're right. Chris is probably like, look, man, you know, I'm not fucking with that. Listen, he doesn't seem like he's missing any meals. I, you know, it looks to me like Soulja Boy is enamored with being around Floyd and, you know, calling him the champ. And,
yeah.
You know, it looked like some fucking scene out of Harlem Nights. Some
ridiculous.
Well, I mean, also drugs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, them narcotics now. Them, you know.
Them boys on that powder.
They on that. They look,
on that, man, white stuff.
Out there on that stuff, mama.
So, yeah, so, I mean, I'm actually hoping that this fight doesn't, because the other thing is, you know, both of them doing that stuff, and I think Chris is probably in much better shape than Soulja Boy, and he's bigger than Soulja Boy. So, like, if they get in the ring, like, if Chris got any wind and guile about him, he'll beat the, like, Soulja Boy might get anything hurt.
But also, I feel like Soulja Boy ain't got shit to lose. I mean, Soulja Boy might just be that crazy.
Just going there swinging.
The biggest takeaway for me is that this is giving the idea and the impression that being around gangs and gang culture
is fun and cute.
It's fun. It's sort of fly by night. You can kind of do it at any point. Like, there are really no rules to this shit anymore. And I can kind of do it, but not really do it like them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still going to school and I got my part-time job. I'm only gang banging on Tuesdays and Thursdays
from seven
to 10
and 8:30.
Yeah.
Maybe one Saturday a month when I ain't got to work.
Saturday a month, they act like he in the reserves. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's like, nah, like B, that. This shit don't work like that. It's just fucking real. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. This could get ugly before it get better. So let's talk about good before we go to extremely bad. So President Obama last night, this is, what day is this again? The 13th, 11th?
The 11th.
11th. So on the January 10th, President Obama gave his farewell address in Chicago to 20,000 people inside and millions obviously watching on TV. The speech lasted a shade under an hour, probably about 45, 50 minutes. I thought it was a good speech. You know, he hit a lot of points in the speech. Some points people didn't like so much. Some points people loved, you know, but that's usually kind of how Obama speeches go. But for me, whether I liked all of it or not, it was just like watching him last night. I mean, not that we didn't know before, but it just made me go like, golly, man, like, this dude is leaving, and like, look at what's coming behind him. Like, look at what's coming behind him. It's going to be a nightmare. But let's talk about the speech first. What did y'all think about the speech?
I thought the speech was good. I did kind of think I'm torn, right? Because it's his farewell address, and given the volatility given the is that the right word? Volatility
mm-hmm.
with the transition right now, he's going to, of course, go out of his way to strike a calming tone.
Yeah.
But the very thing that we've all been waiting for Obama to kind of abandon is that very measured tone, and to strike just a little harder and a little, you know, closer to the meat. Mm-hmm. So I know that some people were disappointed that even as he was finally like driving some points home harder about race, et cetera, he was still kind of throw a caveat in there somewhere to make sure the white people didn't get too mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get it because Trump is insane, right? So you're trying to like be the example of a president for all people. So I can't really knock him for it. But other than that, I thought it was a great speech. The unfortunate thing is the people who need to hear it probably weren't paying attention.
At all.
But what I really thought, the couple of things I thought were the biggest takeaways was one, and maybe he should have done less of this and taken more credit for this. Every accomplishment he ticked off, it was we did, we did, we did, you did, you did, you did, right? Yeah. There is no I. There is never an I with President Obama, which might be part of the problem, right? Because people don't, you know, a lot of people have said he didn't boast loudly enough about all he accomplished. Because he actually did.
He did a lot of shit.
Accomplished the majority of his campaign promises. People act like he didn't.
Yeah.
He actually did. I think that people, like, revisionist memory is so serious. Mm-hmm. And I think that people really forget how fucked up the economy was. Not when he entered office, but granted, if you compare
numbers. Yeah, when he entered office too, though.
Well, when he entered office too, but a lot of people like to compare numbers against when he entered office, like, no, he didn't do that much. And I'm like, oh, y'all are forgetting about the fucking economy bottoming out right after he took office?
And the automobile industry about to go belly
up.
Yeah,
that's the shit we were climbing back from. Don't measure it on day one. Measure it after we fucking hit the recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he really did bring us back. You know what I mean? So, and I know, like, Obamacare is problematic. It's expensive. Give me any universal, like he said this last night, if you could come up with a universal health care plan where the premiums will be lower and the coverage will be the same, I'll get up there and you know, support it. Like, mm-hmm. Show it to me, right? And I think that's fair. I think that, obviously, I don't think there's a single president who would ever be able to govern in a way where the whole country will be happy.
It's impossible.
It's literally impossible.
300 million people in this country. You can't please 300
yeah,
million.
There's, it's literally impossible. Could Obama have fought harder in some cases? Yeah, maybe, but people are already calling him divisive and this and that. I mean, can you imagine what they would have called him if he ever really would have put the hammer down?
Yeah.
You know, like the angry nigga and the author. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been all kinds of shit,
right? They
were
calling him that anyway.
Right. So I think the speech was a good reminder, A, of how much actually got accomplished. B, his latter part of the speech was a lot of discussion about like the importance of really respecting and protecting our democratic system,
mm-hmm.
which I think was so necessary because we're wilding. Like, we are wilding the fuck out. These same movies, The Hunger Games and fucking Divergent and
this is how they started.
Well, but it also has made people think that anarchy is sexy and it's noble.
Yeah, it's cute. And you wear nice clothes and shit.
Yeah, like being anti-government is like the hot shit because people are thinking the government as it exists today is the, you know, oppressive and controlling and elitist government that we see on these TV shows. No, we ain't seen that shit yet. And it's coming if we're not fucking careful. And you know, him saying like the Constitution is a great thing, but it's just a piece of parchment unless we act. Like, it's the same thing with checks and balances. Like, motherfuckers think that magically some alarm bells are going to go off and a damn cage is going to drop on top of Trump if he steps out of line as president. And no, the fuck it's not.
Well, people, I'm telling you, people think that, I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, because of Trump's antics and all his bullshit, people really are kind of looking, they're not taking, and I think, Yeah, because and I think the media plays a big part in it, because in a lot of cases on these news shows and stuff, like I think it's starting to finally slow down a little bit for like a lot of times throughout the campaign. Like they would almost kind of like laugh at his shit. Like, hey, he's entertaining though. He's really entertaining.
Well, yeah. It's like, that's the problem, right?
It's not funny, and it's not supposed to be entertaining. He's not. He's making it a movie or a TV show to keep you entertained. Even with all that's going on now, people are like, and the tweets and all that. They're like, yo, it's entertaining. It's like, yo, it's not supposed to be entertaining, fam. You watch you watch Netflix for entertainment. This should everything he tweets, everything he says, it's serious. Like it has serious consequences to everything he says and does. And people, a lot of people don't seem to understand the consequences of him talking reckless about China and his buddy like Russia shit, or now to the point where Russia might even have compromised him. Like, it's not a fucking game. Like, it's not a joke.
I think the media realizes that now, but I do blame them, because you're right. For the whole first part of the campaign, all the way up into the primaries, it was soft news with Trump. It was like, let's air his speeches. Let's air all these sound bites. Let's air all this shit, because you're right. Like you said, it's entertainment. People watching it is compelling. But then it's like, oh shit, this motherfucker is really the presidential nominee. And now it's like, oh shit, he's really the president-elect, right?
Not only is he the president-elect, but he's acting the exact same.
He's
way.
Acting the exact same. He's actually getting worse.
He's getting worse.
And the reason he's getting worse is because every time he shows his ass, so like he's showing his ass from the beginning of the campaign, and people are like, oh, he's not really serious. It's not like he's gonna win the primary. Then this motherfucker wins the primary, and it's like, oh, well, if you know, once we get to the general election, you know, he'll pivot and he'll be more serious. Then in the general election, it's like, oh, well, if he actually wins the election, he'll be more presidential. Now he's won the election, and motherfuckers like, well, he's not sworn in yet. He's gonna be the same.
He's been sworn in less than a week. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because nobody's challenged him, and now y'all have let shit ride so long that now when you challenge him, oh, it's unfair. It's this, it's that. People are right. Like, Trump could commit a Watergate level offense.
He has.
And
Russia shit is worse than Watergate.
And your girl Kellyanne Conway would get on the TV like, I mean, he recorded some conversations. The media is making a big deal out of this. It's
how come
nothing.
That talking about like, Hillary Clinton? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like Hillary did much worse with her emails. Like, literally, right?
Mm-hmm.
I read a story today. The woman, the New York Times, the woman, was she a Times reporter? Anyway, the woman who actually scooped the story on World War II, she was in Germany driving to Poland. And something happened. It was a windy day or something, and the wind lifted. She was right on the border, and the wind lifted like this tarp. I had never heard this story before. It's fascinating. The wind lifted like this tarp off that had been covering this like valley area, covering a viewpoint so that you couldn't see into this valley area. And she saw all these German tanks and missiles and soldiers and gear. This was August 28th. And she called, you know, into her field, whatever, and basically scooped the fact that Hitler was about to invade Poland, and he invaded Poland 2 days later. Right now, somebody could be in Russia, a reporter, and see that shit happen, or see something that says that Russia's about to invade somebody or some shit, or Russia's about to shoot a nuke at us, something equal, right? And call and one of our outlets reported, and Trump's people would get up there and be like, they have no proof. That's outlandish. That could have been anything. Who the fuck knows? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like.
Well, that's what's happening now with so the, with the whole shit.
With the Russian thing. Exactly.
With the Russian thing. It's like, again, it's like, oh, because they keep leaning on the fact that it keeps saying that the reports are unsubstantiated. And one of the reasons they're saying that is because this information is coming from basically like a MI6, who's the, you know, the English version of kind of like the CIA. Like, they have to protect their identities and shit. They can't just like lay out where it came from and who said what. So they can't really ever substantiate it. But the fact that the president Obama and Trump were both briefed on this shows that it's serious. Like, they're not going to be doing this shit on some fake news. It's like, come on, fam. Like, they're not going to, but also,
even if it's unsubstantiated, this is fucking serious. It's Russia. Like,
but that to Russia's, but
why
again,
is every,
but you know what it is.
Why is everybody acting like they forgot the Cold War? Like, why
Russia got, obviously, as they said, Russia got, not surprising, Russia got Trump under mad pressure. They got all kind of information on him, and they've given him a bunch of money. That's why obviously everybody around him, Rex Tillerson, who was the head of Exxon, is very, has right. ties to Russia. Matter of fact, I read today that law firm.
Yeah, like the top Russian law firm.
They got an award. Like
well,
everybody,
that's actually surprising me, is that there's,
Putin's putting everybody around him that's down. Like, basically, it's a Russian cabinet.
That's what surprises me. You have all these blatantly Russia-friendly people around you, right? We have past comments from Trump and Donald Jr.
and his son
about Putin relationships, Russian ties, Russian financial ties. All these things are on record, right? The GOP's willingness to bury their head in the sand, to save face, is outstanding to me. Like, I can't believe this is happening. And these are the same people who, with no information at all whatsoever, pressed hard that Obama was an ISIS agent. So, like, mm-hmm. You want to believe that Obama's an ISIS agent. You want to believe that the Clintons killed an ass of people. Mm-hmm. But you don't believe, with all the evidence around you, that Trump is compromised, that an international real estate developer is in deep with Russia. It's the most logical thing in the fucking world. I don't understand. You know what I mean? It's baffling to me.
What you think, bro?
I don't have a lot of interest in Trump. It's so taxing that I have to check out. We know what it is. I mean, we know exactly what it is. We know that Russia has their, you know, foot on his neck. Really not much that we could do about it. So I'm in a position where is what can I do? Like seriously, like there's a paralysis that can kind of take place on, well, what do I do here?
Yeah.
Like, I can get angry and I can fuck around and have a stroke, but like, what do I do here? Only thing I could do right now is hope that the checks and balances of government will at some point kick in and take over and at least do its job or do its due diligence. I mean, we know that this is comical. Like, we know that this is not correct. It's like, it's fake news unless it's something that is beneficial to them and mm-hmm. their cabinet. Mm-hmm. We know that they have hustled and they have taken every spirit of the law and they have read through everything with a fine tooth comb to use every loophole and technicality to put him in a position to help out every friend he's ever known. Anybody he's ever had dinner with, they're good. And everybody else is like on the outskirts. And you know what? It is nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
It's nothing I can do about it because he's the fucking president and ain't shit I can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're fucked.
Yeah. We're.
I'm trying to find me a bomb shelter or some shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it doesn't behoove. I really do think that this is more about bleeding us and putting us in a precarious financial position and using our resources and our assets as a piggy bank for them more so than war. Do I see us having conflict? I'm sure.
I think the conflict is going to come. The conflict's going to come.
The conflict's
going to
come not from Russia. From China. The conflict's going to come from China or from one of our other allies or from North Korea. Like, it's going to come from one of our other allies or one of our current allies who's sick of our shit.
Like,
right?
Germany. So like, Angela Merkel's going to be like, I'm not fucking, because she don't fuck with Putin. She's going to be like, I'm not fucking with Trump, and I mean,
it's just, listen, the man has, he got it. He fucking outjigged the jig. This is the biggest fucking, I mean, this is literally gonna go down in history, dude. Like, I'm not, like, when our great grandkids are sitting around watching the fucking History Channel or whatever it will be, whatever iteration it is at that point, this is going to be a topic of discussion. The 2016 election and how a reality star became president. That's what
we're going to be a movie about it. There's going to be books about it. There's going to be a movie about it. This shit is going to be taught.
And again, like civics class. It's insane. He's not a bright man. He's not a bright man. He's not smart. He's thin skinned. He doesn't really, I still to this day don't think he realizes the capacity in which the president has to operate. And I don't think Donald Trump has had I don't think he's had a 20-hour day. Because guess what? When you got to get on the phone and talk to China, you got to get up on their fucking time, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It doesn't always work on you. See, so he's going from a space of always being in charge and everything sort of revolving around him to now adapting and adjusting to the rest of the world, because that's how it goes.
Well, not even that, but adjusting to even the rest of the country. Like, even in today's speech, you are being sworn in less than 10 days, in 9 days. And even in today's press conference, in answering questions, you had to keep referencing your rallies, your crowd.
But
I'm like, motherfucker, you are 9 days away from being sworn in.
But guess what?
Like, what the fuck?
Nah, he was doing that shit months before the election, weeks before the election, weeks before the debate. Like, it honestly, he could do anything he wants to do. And the press, it was insane to me to sit there and watch CNN running a live feed on a man who is basically saying that your product is shit, your integrity is in the toilet,
and you're fake news.
Fake news, and they were still running the feed. Now, look, I know as a producer, you can't just turn off a feed, right? That's not really the point I'm
making. All right, and if you really want to call yourself fair and biased media, you can't. I mean, fair and unbiased media, you can't.
So my point really is that they win all of these fucking stations, the New York Times, or every fucking station, every news outlet, every organization will continue to win. Because guess what? Whether they talk good or whether they talk bad about Trump, it moves their needle, it moves their bottom line, it gets their clicks.
Yes, but Sean, they don't win because the president has shown, this is the first press conference Trump has had since May or some shit like that. Like, it's an unprecedented amount of time, especially for a president-elect. They don't win because they are being denied access that is usually granted to the president by this administration, and they're going to be frozen out. So they still may get clicks and views by being able to report on whatever information comes down, but they're not going to be able to do their actual job when it comes to actually discussing things the president is doing, meetings he's having. Like Trump made it sound like a big deal that the media knew what meetings he was having. They're supposed to. That's why you have a press corps that just follows you. Because the whole the whole purpose of the media is actually the whole purpose of the media in its original intended form is to act as a check against government.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually what the media was created to do. There is a press corps that's supposed to follow Trump specifically, whatever he does, because there is a certain amount of transparency that's there when you know that there's always media around you. It's what it's supposed to be. You are the person who should be held in the highest integrity in the country, right? You should be the one, you are the one person in the country above all others who is granted little to no privacy. So the fact that Trump still wants to act like he can operate one or two things, either as a private citizen or that as president, everything he does is supposed to be covert, means that he really doesn't understand the office of presidency. It's the opposite. Everything you do is not supposed to be covert. The majority of what you do should actually be very transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So like your complaints about the media has this, they leaked that. These are not leaks. These are not media leaks.
It's just information going out.
It's information. This is what's supposed to happen. Your daily agenda is supposed to be public. The media is supposed to have access to it. They're supposed to know who you're meeting with. Like, this is what they do. Like, this is actually how they do their job. And he doesn't understand it, and he's going to freeze them out, and they're not going to have any information. They're not going to have any access, which also guarantees that as he's doing shady shit, we're not going to know about it. And when we finally report about it, it's going to be on some unnamed source.
Or he's going to say that everybody's lying. Everybody's
exactly.
Lying. Fake news.
He's been doing shady shit. He's going to keep doing shady shit. And, you know, like I said, all of these news outlets, their integrity is shaky at best on a lot of this shit because they ran with all of the fucking Hillary shit. They ran with anything that moved the needle. Anything that moved the needle. Like, I don't give a fuck about Donald Trump having golden showers in a presidential suite. I want to know where the money is. I want to follow the money. Like, that shit is inconsequential to me. I don't give a fuck about his whatever people consider perverse actions. I don't care about that. We know that he's got ties to Russia. We know that he's in bed with them. He still won't release his fucking tax return. And no,
and today, nobody, today he said, because nobody, he don't think nobody cares except the press.
No, nobody fucking presses him. Nobody.
That's what
time,
I don't get.
Every time he gets aggressive and raises his voice, like
they
he
back
tends
off.
To do, they back off like a bunch of bitches. So they can miss me with that whole idea of them being, we're gonna do all the research and get the fuck out of here. Y'all had paperwork. Y'all had research. None of you motherfuckers did it. None of your editors followed through with whatever people did find out. So I don't give a fuck. It's nothing. I got to wake up on the 21st and this motherfucker's going to be my president. And guess what? It ain't shit Sean Young could do about it. Sean Young still got to get up in the morning and figure out what the fuck he doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's not even in yet, and it's like this. So God bless how this is going to be for the next. By this time next week, I'm sure it's going to be some other shit. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You cannot immerse yourself
because it doesn't stop.
You cannot live a healthy quality of life, a remotely healthy quality of life, and be immersed in this shit on a daily basis. It's impossible to do so. It's impossible. You niggas that are immersed in this shit, there's no balance to your life because it's perpetual. It's all day, every day.
No, you're right.
Yo, they fucking, yo, dude, within like 24 hours, they had a urgent session on ethics. They fucking, basically took it off the books and then put it back on the books.
And now they're talking about repealing Obama healthcare with no replacement. Just like, oh, we're gonna repeal it, but then we'll figure that shit out.
Nigga, that's come on, we know what that is. That's you know what? I'ma holler at you week after next. That
yeah,
ain't nothing but that
exactly.
What that is.
Yeah, yo, get that job. My taxes is coming. I'll pay you when I get
exactly. We know what this is, and guess what? It's nothing. The only saving grace we have right now is hoping that our checks and balances systems, that the congressmen and the people that we voted into office as well, do the right thing and we make our voice heard. I mean, that's the only thing you could do.
Yeah. So that's it for the show. God bless America. And we will be back on this thing definitely on a way more regular basis.
And, we didn't even talk. Did we talk about Real Housewives?
Oh, shit. That nigga Matt?
No.
Hey, this nigga Matt? Hey, but you know what I got to say, though, man? Matt's a jackass and all that, but, yo, can you be really playing with this nigga's head, man? Like, that doesn't condone any physical...
No, but she does violence. Too much. Like, he's crazy. Matt needs therapy, like, real talk.
No. Matt needs jail. Matt needs to drive. If I'm the driver, because if I'm that driver,
I'm pressing.
That he puts, nigga, am I pressing? I'm pressing all the charges, nigga. Everyone that's available to me. I'm a working man. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Listen, we all take cars, and for the most part, we get in that car, and it's usually somebody named Juan or Mr. Yeah. Earl. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Willie and them.
Yeah, who's driving? He ain't doing nothing but driving, man. He ain't bothering nobody.
He ain't trying to earn a living.
He just, or this little part-time job he got, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what I'm saying? Little,
spending money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He got to take care of his little young tender.
Exactly.
Pay her Metro PCS bill.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, he getting accosted by this big old nigga right here.
Yeah, for yeah. what? For just having been driving
Kenya? Let me tell you something. He going to run up on the wrong one.
Yeah.
He going to run up on the wrong one. There is... I would not be surprised. It would never surprise me if we read a headline that this dude was either shot or beaten or killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
His temper is zero. And to listen to him try to justify the shit to Peter.
Yeah.
It was like mind blowing.
Yeah. Like, nigga, you assaulted somebody and then, hey, and then left the scene of the crime. Like, listen,
anytime you get on the phone and a nigga hits you with the, hey, brother.
Yeah.
When nigga hit you with the hey, brother.
It's bad news.
He lying. That nigga lying.
And to that note, before we wrap up, you know, it's a different kind of thing, but, I mean, a different type of outcome, I should say, but Cynthia ain't no better.
Cynthia gotta stop. Cynthia, stop. And you know what?
I
went to Cynthia's Instagram page and Cynthia's Twitter because I wanted to see if people were getting in her ass.
Miss Diamond did the research.
Well, because I wanted to see if she had any remorse after watching the show back for how she treated poor Peter. And people were bigging her up like, that's so classy how you handled it when he asked you to go back to the room, to his house, and you still showed up looking great. And that's so great that you guys are still amicable. No.
Amicable.
Peter is trying to move. Peter's trying to move on. He's hurt. He still loves her. He did not want this divorce. And she's doing some, and no offense to y'all too, but this is some nigga shit when you insist on leaving your foot in the door and you know you don't want nothing. Like,
what's unfortunate was that to me, what it really showed me was a lot of selfishness.
Yep.
Right? It's like,
absolutely.
She had so long ago checked out of that relationship that she was immediately at the point of let's be friends before the ink. Like, yeah. Think about this. The ink, he hasn't even signed the ink isn't even dry on the paperwork.
And you're like, let's be buddies.
And you to come around when he did not want a divorce. This is not an amicable split, an agreed upon split.
Right.
This is, you came up and said, yo, I want a divorce. He had no choice but to say, okay, I mean,
right.
If that's what you want, okay. He didn't want.
But then you show up at his opening to his restaurant unannounced. I mean, according to the show, unannounced. You know, you look.
First of all,
the wild shit. Just take it back a little further. When she finds out that he's doing an opening and has a hired Kenyan to do hosting, like she gets a little too. Like, why he couldn't invite me? It's like, what? Like, why would he invite you? He don't want to be around you because it hurts him too much to see you if you ain't fuck with him like that.
Well, that's really what it was. She was like, you could, and he even said, he was like, you know, I'm trying not to press it up, which again suggests I want more than you want. And her thing is, well, you should invite me and give me the option to say whether I want to come or not. No, bitch. No, he shouldn't. Yeah. He shouldn't invite you because he's actually trying to be respectful of what the fuck you want.
Exactly.
And like, that's the irony. He's trying to be respectful of what the fuck you want. And he's trying to do what he needs to do to move forward with his life. So you can move forward with your shit, right?
Yeah.
But you want to do this shit on your terms. You're mad because all your little friends going to Club One to party with Peter. And you feel all boo-hoo, I got left out. Well, bitch, that's what a divorce is about.
That's what it's about, yeah.
And the divorce is 10 seconds old. Like, give it a minute.
But then you show up and then you up under the nigga all night and whispering his ear. Let me talk to you about what's happening and da-da-da-da. And then, you know, then when the nigga at the end of the evening is like, hey, man, you know, it's good to see you. Come, you know, why don't you come by the crib and let's chill? You like, this is awkward.
He could have even just said, no, Peter, I don't think so. This is awkward, bitch. I'm so sick of Cynthia.
To me, when I heard her say this is awkward, and I'm not saying it would have changed her mind, but I think it almost felt like she was saying that and hoping that he would keep asking. Like,
I kind of got the sense,
awkward, this is me. Like, why can't we come by? Like, come on. Like, she wanted him to, like, beg her more. Again, I'm not saying that she would have went, But she wanted to, again, just to kind of like just play with his head. That shit is whack, man. It's fucking whack, yo. Just whack. Super whack. I ain't like that shit at all. You know, and Peter got his bullshit with him. Don't get it wrong. But like that shit that Cynthia's doing is actually almost worse than what Kenya's doing. Cause like, you know, it's just whack. I don't fuck with that shit.
It's not worse. It's different.
Maybe not worse. Yeah, that was a stretch. But yeah. They're both bad to me.
We got to talk about Candy next week.
No, we talk about Candy next week. We'll talk about Candy next week. We got a bunch of shit to catch up on, you know, and a piece of the haves and the have nots. Great ass show. Second episode was on fire.
Ooh, thank you.
Nigga, you and Miss Betty Jean and Miss Barbara and Miss Ernestine, y'all go down and watch that down at the basement at the church.
Exactly. Yeah. We're gonna watch. We're gonna have a little party with some pound cake.
Pound cake and some punch for the
half. And some ready whip, but the one in
Jeffrey,
the tub.
Jeffrey, you bring me a ginger ale, Jeffrey.
Bring me a ginger ale and bring that ready whip out, but not that spray. The one in the tub, I can scoop on it. So yes, that's what's gonna be going down. But we're gonna wrap it up. Like I said, we're gonna get back to being way more consistent in 2017. And we will see y'all next week.
Later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.